chapter 1. I talked a little bit about this past Wednesday night, but I left some things unsaid that I want to say here this morning. And the verse that I want to call your attention to is that 21st verse of the first chapter of the book of Matthew. The 21st verse and the 23rd verse. The 23rd verse says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." In the 21st verse of the first chapter of Matthew, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means Savior. There's the Son who is the Savior. And his chief business, and objective of coming into this world is to save his people. Not necessarily to save them from some great conqueror, or to save them from slavery, as he saved his people in Egypt, delivered them from the rule of that great monarch, of dictator, or whatever he was there. But his name shall be called Jesus, Savior, Joshua. For his chief business will be to save his people, not from a situation that they could do something about, but he's going to save them from their sins. Now, he's either going to do this, or he's not going to do it. We know from the written word and from our own experience of the grace of God, we know that he did accomplish what he was sent to do. He saved his people from their sins. He was not thwarted in the fulfillment of his purpose. He came to save his people from their sins by standing in their place and in their room and in their stead and being their surety. Being their surety, he guaranteed the Father in heaven that he would, as their surety, meet all of the demands of holy justice in their behalf. And that he would keep the precepts of the holy law in their stead and place. In other words, he being their surety guaranteed to represent them in all that was required of them. He guaranteed that to the Father and the Son. I will deliver my people, the people that the Father gave me. For he shall save his people from their sins. And a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is God with us, in that he took upon himself our nature and became one of us. God with us. Now, our Lord speaks of this oneness over here in the book of John, chapter 17. I related to some of these scriptures last Wednesday. In John chapter 17, our Lord Jesus says in verse 9, now he is in holy communion with the Father. He's in prayer. He's speaking to the Father. In the first verse, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, praying to the Father. This is his high priestly prayer. He's praying unto the Father on behalf of those that he represents, his people. Going to save them from their sins. And he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. When our Lord Jesus lived here upon this earth and lived this sinless life, was without sin, He was in a world that was full of sin, but in regard to himself, he was without sin. And in his finished work, the finished work of this person that became a man, he glorifies all the attributes of God. All that makes up the character of God is glorified in the death, in the doing, and the dying, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, Father, it's time. The hour's come. This is I came to this end. I've accomplished the work. I finished the work, he'll say later on. But he said, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So all the attributes of God, everything that makes up his character in the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin being punished justly, sin must be punished by a just God. And righteousness must be established, so the law must be kept. Every jot and every tittle of that law has got to be kept. So the Lord Jesus Christ keeps the precepts of the law. He found the law cast down, trampled under the feet of men when he came. But he lifted it up to a higher level and made it honorable and magnified that law by keeping the precepts of that law. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, being born of a woman, was born under the curse of the law because he was born of a woman. But he never sinned. He had no sin. He kept the law perfectly, but he died the sinner's curse. Paid what the law demanded, which was death. And he tasted death for every one of his people. Went into the grave. And if the cold jaws of death had retained him, not a single solitary human being that lived or ever lived or ever shall live would have been redeemed and made a child of God. But he fought the battle. He conquered death. And on the third day, he ascended from the grave and went back to glory from where he came as our intercessor to ever live before God to make intercession for us, to interpret our prayers and make sense out of them. God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, God with us. Almighty God with us. All of God that is, was, and ever will be, was with us. God with us. Mystery, isn't it? And as we look at it in our lifetime, the mystery, if we be believers and have the Spirit of the living God, the mystery begins to unfold. And before it's over with, we can understand how God saves sinners on the doing and the dying of His blessed Son, our substitute. We can understand how justice is satisfied because the Lord Jesus Christ gave to justice what justice demanded. God demands His holiness and justice. Demands that the soul that sins shall surely die. There must be a way to satisfy God because God will not compromise His justice. He will not lower His justice to meet our sinnerhood. So we've got to have a sinless sacrifice. We got to have a perfect righteousness. And the only way that that can be wrought is by God being with us. God with us in the flesh. A man. That's that old blind man. They said, "Who did this?" He said, "A man." Bless God. He said, "Amen." All Jesus. All man and all God. One person. That too much for you? All man, all God. That's the way it's got to be. Can't be any other way. God cannot save a sinner apart from God becoming a man. He will not compromise His justice. Justice is compromised here. Men's justice is compromised every day. But God will never compromise His justice. It's got to be satisfied. Well, He says here in verse 9, let me read that now. He says, "I pray for them." I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now, he says in verse 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them," that is, these "that were Thine, but You gave them to me. I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So, what I'm saying here now, that this blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus the Christ, this person of the Son, this person, this man, this person of the Son, took our nature and is God with us. And I believe myself, and you may differ with me and I may be wrong, I don't know, but my own personal belief is that He really took body and soul and the whole of humanity in His incarnation. He was God with us in His weakness. He was God with us in His conflicts. He was God with us in His exaltation. He was God with us in all of His victories. He came and conquered sin, that monster sin that has invaded this universe through the first man, Adam, and will kill every one of us, this monster sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God with us, when He accomplished victory over sin and made an end of it by paying what justice owed. He was God with us in His weakness, God with us in His conflicts, God with us in His exaltation, God with us to strengthen us, God with us to watch over us, God with us to direct us, God with us to deliver us, God with us to completely save us, body, soul, and spirit. He was God with us to rule over us and to rule in us and to defeat all of our enemies. God in us to give us exalted feelings and views of God the Father, how He can be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. God with us to raise us in immortal glory, to take us to that place, that never, never land, that land beyond, that place eternal, where we shall never die, that place where we shall enjoy the presence God with us throughout eternity. Eternity never ending. Immortal glory. And there's a thousand others that I could say if I had time. He's promised to be our guide even unto death. He who was a God man was born in Bethlehem, was hunted down like a dog in Egypt, that He might find His hunted people, every one of them, to seek them out of every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Oh, my soul, this morning. This Jesus that I'm talking about has been here before we got here. God with us when He came. God with us in His temptation. Where did I read that at? Just, I think in the book of Matthew. Yes, the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. Listen to this. God with us in His temptation. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil's going to tempt God with us. If the devil wins in this battle, this is one of the conflicts. If the devil wins in this battle, there'll be no man saved. There'll be no children of God by faith in Christ Jesus if in this conflict the devil is the victor. And our Lord Jesus Christ meets him on his own ground. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And the tempter came, the devil came to him and said, "Why, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." Fasted, he hadn't ate for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. God with us, a man, all man, apart from a sinful nature. And he was hungry. And he said, "Well, if you're the Son of God now, just command these stones that they turn into fresh bread." And our Lord answered and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So the devil was defeated in these two battles here, but the conflict is not over. The war still rages between the devil and God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, jump off, cast thyself down. For it is written," devil knows some scripture too. He said, "For it's written that he," that's God the Father, he doesn't know that he's talking with God with us, "he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up." You go ahead and jump, they'll catch you. "Lest at any time you would dash thy foot against a stone." Another battle. This is a fierce battle. He's waging this battle, not for himself, but because he shall save his people from their sins. In order to save his people from the sin, he's got to destroy this one here. Destroy this devil. And he beat him at his own game. And Jesus said unto him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of those kingdoms. And he said unto him, "All these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, he said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto the Lord Jesus. So if the Lord had not won the battle, if he had not conquered the enemy, if he had yielded to temptation, there would be no salvation for no soul. But he conquered. He was God with us. God with us in our weakness. God with us in our strength. All for this poor sinner. God with us in His suffering. He suffered. Driven. The beginning of His suffering. Driven into the wilderness of temptation. And He fought this battle. This is a hard battle He fought. As I said twice now, if He'd have been beaten, I got to insist upon that. You got to see this. If He'd have been beaten in this battle, the whole world would have been damned. There would have been no hope if He had been beaten in this battle. But He come to grips with Satan and his deception. And He beat him. All of that is required in order that a soul might be saved. I feel real bad and sorry for those who teach, just do your duty as you know it, and God will love you. God will love no man apart from the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do your duty, and God will love you. This is one of the cradles in which hypocrites get rocked to sleep. Do your duty. Do the best you can, and everything will be all right. Oh, no. I'll tell you this, that God Himself will bring His people into a state that nothing but God with us can bring him out. And when they have been brought out, they will join themselves together and sweetly sing like the angels. God with us. God with us is our salvation. God with us is all Christ and all God in one person. And the more we are brought to feel sick of self, if you're not sick of yourself, you are still in the bonds of iniquity and the bitterness of gall. The more we are brought out to feel sick of self, the better fit we are for God's salvation. Christ was God with us in Gethsemane. Christ was God with us on the tree. We were there, poor ignorant sinners as we were, to spit in God's face, to kill Him, and to despise Him, and to set Him at naught. He who was our next of kin, He's the day's man. He's our substitute and our Savior. We set Him at naught. We esteemed Him not. Oh, it's God with us in Christ. That's our hope. We have no hope but that. He suffered for us. The vengeance of hell against sin, He suffered for us. The vengeance of insulted justice, He suffered and satisfied that for us. Someone said that the day that they nailed the Son of God to the tree, they said that the sun went into mourning and the dead were alarmed and earth and hell were in array, and all of this was done on behalf of that poor sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. God with us. Oh, listen. God with us. Bless His holy name. If God with us is applied to our souls, and the light of the glory of God would shine into our hearts and into our minds and make us to see and understand what it takes to save a soul, that God must condescend, that God must clothe His deity with our humility and become a man and become one of us and walk with us and talk with us. And the Word might be made flesh, live here on this earth, walk among men for 30 years. For 33 years, give or take. And in the end, die the sinner's death. God Almighty, God with us. That's what this is all about. It's not all about doing the best you can and peradventure God might show you favor. God, it's not all about that. God will only show favor on the account of God becoming a man, and as a man, satisfying every claim against us. That's how God shows mercy. He doesn't show favor because your name is this and something else, or you done this or you done that. God does not show favor apart from the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God with us. God shows favor. I told you the other night here, Noah found grace, found favor with God. The only favor that will do a man any good is the favor of God. God put us in Christ. Those that are saved by the grace of God are those that God put in Christ. It says this about that. This is what it says. It says that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him. Now listen to this. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and all of His blessings are in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him, that is, He hath put us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All of His people were put in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. All these that were put in Christ must be redeemed by Christ. So Christ become a man. God with us. To redeem us. Now, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Put us in Christ. Now listen to this. He put us in Christ. And where He put us, He kept us. We fell in Adam. But we didn't fall when we were in Christ. He put us there and kept us where He put us. We fell in Adam, but we didn't fall in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from then to now, we have been preserved in Christ. All on the account of God with us. God who become a man, walked this earth, saved our souls, give us hope, pardoned us our sins, took away our guilt and our shame, and judicially and legally, we appear before God as we had never sinned. We've sinned trillions of times, but judicially, we stand before God. Legally, we stand before God as one that had never seen. All on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ covering His deity with our humanity, and in our humanity making a complete, perfect, and final salvation. Clothing them in His perfect righteousness. And I'll read this verse again. I read this so much. John chapter 4. Are you going to... Do you feel like it? That you're going to tremble when you stand before God in the judgment seat? Are you going to put your head between your knees? Are you going to try to hide? Or what? Well, here it says, in regard to the people of God, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness. Not shaking in our boots. Have I done enough? I remember one time years ago that a dear person of my acquaintance and experience told me a story about the lady that she was nursing. The lady had cancer. She was dying. And this lady told her, said, "I'm scared to death." She said, "I'm scared to death." She said, what are you afraid of?" She said, you've been going to church all your life." "Yeah." She said, "I've been going to church." She said, I don't think I've ever heard anything." And says, "I'm scared to death. I'm afraid to die." Well, she wasn't very bold. But if you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, if God has brought you to see that it takes God with us to stand you in good stead at the judgment day, then you can have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, here it is. Because as He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God with us, because as He is, now you find out how He is right now. How is He? God raised Him from the dead. He conquered death. Raised Him from the dead. As He is, so are we. Now, however the Lord Jesus Christ is, that's the way we are. We who are believers are like Christ Himself. Well, you say, boy, that is good news. Well, that's what the gospel is, good news. As He is, so are we, even in this world. Well, He said there's no fear in love, but perfect fear casteth out, or perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him. Why? Why do we love Him? Well, it's because He first loved us. When did He first love us? He first loved us in eternity when He put us in Christ. When He chose us in Christ before the world was. We found out about that. We found out that God loved us before we had been. And it was God's love that sent the Savior. It was the love of God that saved us. So, we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. When? Say that's a pretty good reason for a man to love God when he's assured that God loves him. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. We'll let him have his